This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair. It's been a year now since the start of the Me Too movement. It launched in the wake of the Harvey Weinstein scandal and has quickly broadened, not only through the U.S., but into a global movement as well. It's making a difference here in Washtenaw County. We're going to explore the prevalence of sexual assault locally. We're going to go over some statistical data for you, but we're also going to look into some of the raw emotion and the toll these crimes take and what the future may bring. I have two guests with me today. Barbara Neesmay is the Executive Director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County, and Barb McQuaid is the University of Michigan law professor who is former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan and a member of the Safe House Center Board. Thank you both for the time today. Most appreciated.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
Barbara Neesmay, have you seen changes in the conversations and attitudes among the women you serve at Safe House Center since the advent of the Me Too movement?
Yes, we have. I would say that in the last couple of years, we've seen a major uptick in calls to our helpline, about 69%. But when we look at the last 10 to 11 months, which is the time frame of the post-Me Too revelations, we have seen a 50% increase in requests for support for survivors of sexual assault and a 50% increase in requests for shelter at Safe House.
And was there an even further uptick in the Kavanaugh hearings and subsequent confirmation to the United States Supreme Court?
Yes. The week of the hearings, we received the number of calls related to needing support for sexual assault is the same number of calls we normally get in a month.
That's astounding. And it, I suppose, good on one front in that people are feeling more comfortable to come forward. And Barb McQuaid, is that the kinds of conversations you're having with your students at the U of M Law School?
Yeah, you know, students were very interested during the Kavanaugh hearings in having conversations about sexual assault and Supreme Court matters. So, you know, we've had a panel discussion. There have been a lot of discussions going on about this. I think there is a learning opportunity here, though. One of the things that prosecutors face, one of the challenges that's a little bit uphill in prosecuting sexual assault crimes, is misinformation among jurors. And I think two things that we've had a chance to talk about and I hope to enlighten people about is, number one, the fact that there is a delay in reporting does not mean that the person is making it up. So often we see survivors of sexual assault reluctant to come forward because they fear being blamed or shamed or ridiculed or threatened. And that is a common fear among victims. And so we hope that jurors will understand that issue going forward. And the other one is that survivors of sexual assault, especially when there's been a passage of time, may not remember every detail about the event because it was a traumatic event.
Sometimes, we've certainly seen that play out.
And sometimes expert witnesses are used to explain this, that there are certain aspects of an assault that will be seared in your memory, that you will remember vividly, and other details about the location and who else was there and other kinds of things that you may not recall so vividly. And just because a person can't remember one detail doesn't mean that their memory is faulty on others. And so I'm hopeful that this can be a teachable moment about those two aspects, so that our juries going forward will be more knowledgeable about this crime and can render just verdicts.
And Barbara Neesmay, there is a real science and there is some understanding of what happens to the brain and what happens to the spirit when these traumas occur. And it makes perfect sense from a psychological standpoint that not everything is clear.
No, it's not. What happens when a body experiences trauma is that the brain goes into high gear to try and protect the body. And there are different ways a body experiences trauma. For example, if you are hit by a bus, your brain gets knocked out just so that you can your body can reserve all of the energy it can just to stay alive. But when sexual assault is happening, is that many survivors go into a hyper alert stage, and so when they talk about, they remember the, like, for example, Dr. Ford remembered laughing. We talked to a lot of survivors who remembered what they could smell. They could remember a certain song on the radio because there are just certain things that they tune into, partly out of survival and partly just to keep the brain alert to what's going on. The sad part is that so many details through the process of that trauma get lost. They might not be able to remember exactly where they were or what was happening because it wasn't an immediate in the environment they were in.
Given the number of calls that have been coming in and the increase in the number of calls, do you have enough counselors? Do you have enough support system at Safe House Center to serve those who are in need?
The I'm working with the board on that. As a matter of fact, we actually have had our counselors ask our non-residential counselors to increase their caseload by 25% so that we can respond more to people. We put out an extra special call to volunteers in our most recent volunteer training so that we can have more people answering the helpline and supporting survivors in that way. However, we believe that we are on the cusp of something much bigger and needing to do some planning to see about having more staff available to be those people in front of people who are in crisis.
You are listening to 89.1 WEMU. Our conversation on Me Too in Washtenaw County continues with Safe House Center Executive Director Barbara Neese-May and with Barbara McQuaid, a U of M Law School professor, former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, and a member of the Safe House Center Board. Barbara McQuaid, what comes next as a board member of Safe House Center and in your advocacy, both in the law profession and in the community, for supporting the survivors of sexual assault?
First, we want to make sure the message is clear that Safe House Center is here in Washtenaw County for survivors. It does incredible work, and that's why I'm proud to be on the board, just to help be a megaphone for that organization so that people can come forward. Even if your sexual assault occurred years or decades ago, Safe House is here to help you navigate all of the things that you need, all of the support that you need. So that's important. And then I think going forward, I am hopeful that courage is contagious and that when people see other people speaking out about sexual assault, they will feel empowered to do the same. Because for so many years, this has been a hidden secret. I think we've seen it in the sexual abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. It is an issue of people in power, people who are coaches, people who are bosses in so many of our institutions in society. And it's been a secret because people feel fearful, shameful, and just don't want to get involved and stick their neck out. So I'm hopeful that seeing other people have the courage to come forward will empower others to do so, because you need to speak out. We know even if you want to move on, we can't allow people to stay in those positions of power that allows them to prey on others.
We talk about coming forward, but there is a process that survivors of sexual assault have to go through. First with police, then through the legal system and the courts and dealing with prosecutors and defense attorneys who may tear their lives apart. How do you protect survivors of sexual assault through that process? And is it something we need to explore as a legal community to do something better about?
Yeah, I think we've seen great improvements and great strides in recent years. Here in Washtenaw County, I think we're lucky to have very good law enforcement leaders who understand the issue. In Washtenaw County with Sheriff Clayton, we've got Washtenaw County Prosecutor Brian Mackey, and those who work for them, I think, understand many of the realities of investigating sexual assault crimes. And so we're lucky. I don't know that every community has that kind of leadership that understands the nuances of sexual assault. But I'm hopeful, again, that by talking about these, having national conversations about these things, we can enlighten all of our law enforcement leaders so that they can handle survivors and victims with as much empathy as is necessary, and not putting them on trial and re-victimizing them. You know, when someone is a victim of robbery or burglary, we don't interrogate them and ask them what they were wearing when they went to the scene of the crime.
I know that you are instructing the next generation of attorneys and prosecutors who are going to move on into that realm. I assume they all come from the entire political spectrum. So as they watched the Kavanaugh hearings, as you held forums and you had class discussions, how did they respond? How are they taking this information and kind of applying it to how they want to approach law?
I think that the hearings were a really interesting moment for people, you know, especially our first year law students who have been told that they're entering a noble profession, who have taken a commitment to integrity. To see this unfold, I think, was something that they needed to process. I think that, you know, there are a lot of concerns about was there or was there not a sexual assault? And so there's matters of that kind of behavior. And then if there was, does it matter? Not only because do we want someone who commits sexual assault in a court, but we need to have judges whose integrity we trust. Can we trust that a person is being truthful in denials? And then, of course, we talked about judicial temperament and making sure that someone who is on the court demonstrates an even keel and is not part of a partisan political movement. And so all of those things were worthy of discussion, I think. I don't know that any of us have the answers to any of those questions, but I think it's worthwhile to think about all of those things so that people can reach their own opinions based on information.
While we continue to search for that sense of trust and sense of integrity in the system that we have to be invested in, women remain fearful to come forward. But Barbara Neese-May, Men are fearful right now that they may be wrongfully accused. It was something that came up in the Kavanaugh case. Based on the empirical data that you've collected on sexual assault, what do we know about the issue of false accusations when it comes to sexual assault and what those outcomes are?
Well, false accusations related to sexual assault are one of the lowest rates of false accusations for major crimes. So that is something that I think people need to temper, because I think because of the overemphasis on cases that people believe haven't played out the way they thought they would, we need to be very careful to first understand that it's one of the most underreported crimes. 1 in 15 cases of sexual assault are reported, and to give a bit of context, 1 in 4 cases of domestic violence are reported. And we know that domestic violence is significantly underreported, and sexual assault is almost four times more underreported. Going beyond that, when you look at who is accusing, you know, we were thinking, all right, so there is a false accusal rate. It's very, very low. It's under 5%. And what we've learned is that it's sometimes parents, and sometimes the situations are just kind of beyond what you would expect, and there may be some other issues going on.
Barbara McQuaid, should we increase penalties and provide better protections against false accusations as well? I mean, those are the stories that damage the Me Too movement in the sense that it's okay to come forward.
Yeah, but as Barbara said, I don't think that we have a high rate of false accusations. In fact, as she said, it's lower than for other crimes. So I think that's a bit of a myth that's out there. Certainly anybody who makes a false accusation of a crime exposes themselves to potential prosecution, and I think people know that. So whether you're making a false accusation about sexual assault or bank robbery or kidnapping or whatever it is, you are already exposed to a civil suit for defamation and criminal prosecution for making a false police report. So I think those penalties are there. I think that this concern about false accusation is overblown, and that the real issue is failure for survivors to come forward. I think there are still coaches and faith leaders and others who are out there who are protected because of this fear of coming forward. So I would love to see, you know, more survivors of sexual assault feel empowered to come forward, that they will be believed and not face renewed and more severe penalties than already exist for allegations of a false accusation.
Well, I feel as though we've just scratched the surface, but our time together is running out. I do want to ask each of you one more question. Barbara Nismay, in this heightened state of awareness and social discourse regarding sexual assault, what is your message to the girls and women of our community?
My message to all survivors of sexual assault is that Safe House Center is there for you. Just because you call Safe House, it doesn't mean that you are necessarily wanting to report to law enforcement or go through that process. But everybody, no matter if they want to report or not to law enforcement, deserves help and support, whether it happened yesterday, last week, last month, or 20 years ago.
And Barb McQuaid, what message do you have for the boys and the men of our community?
I think that we need to understand that in our culture, we need to respect everyone. You know, sexual assault is not so much about sexual gratification as it is about power and violence. We need to respect others, men, women, and everyone that we encounter. And so I think having healthy relationships with others is the way forward. So we don't want to just support sexual survivors. We want to reduce sexual assault.
A wide variety of resources are available at safehousecenter.org. And if it is an emergency situation, of course, call 911 first. Any further information you'd like to pass along, Barbara Nismay?
Certainly. Anybody can call our helpline. We have trained staff on it 24/7 at 734-995-5444.
I thank both of you for your time and the conversation this morning. And most importantly, I thank you for the work you're doing.
Thank you.
Thanks very much, Dave.
That is Barbara Nismay, the Executive Director of Safe House Center in Washtenaw County, and Barb McQuaid. She is a University of Michigan law professor, the former U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, and a member of the Safe House Center Board. I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU-HD1 Ypsilanti.